Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. And if you've been with me these last couple weeks, with the Lord's help, we will wrap up this message I've been sharing, the pearl of great price. And that's Jesus, but it's also you and me. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were talking about how can we destroy the power of sin in our lives, because it's a very real experience. We fall, it seems. I mean, is there a day that we don't go through that we in some way don't, either by our actions, by our words, or by our internal thoughts, don't sin? None of us are perfect. We are learning the ways of the Lord. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're becoming more and more like Jesus. And His righteousness has been imputed to us, our spirits, as we're born again. The Father sees us perfect. But in the there is a process that's being worked out, just as that process occurs in the life, if you will, of a natural or cultured pearl. And the one way we can destroy the power of sin is acknowledging it, is repenting of it, allowing God, to use the analogy of the pearl, to peel off those flaws, to peel off that those impurities, and allow His grace to pardon our sin and to accept the fact that we are fully and completely forgiven. Now, I know sometimes as you look around, you see some Christians in the church, they seem to be so committed, or perhaps some ministers that, you know, you think they have to be absolutely perfect. Well, don't you believe it? They get mad just like you do. They have doubts and fears just like you do. They wake up sometimes and feel like the world has caved in on them just like you do. They just don't admit it. Or, of course, as a minister, they have an obligation when they're ministering to lay aside, I've done that so many times, lay aside how they're feeling, what they may be going personally through, and allow the Lord to use them to minister to the needs of the sheep, to the body. That's the important thing. That's the heart cry of a true minister. It's not that they're covering up. They are just allowing the ministry and the anointing of God to touch His people. And so we're all in a process of growth. And I'm certainly one who will tell you that I fail so many times. But I'm pressing on toward the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, years ago, I ran across a card. It was like a postcard size, and I stuck it up on my board in the office, and it says, "Learn from the mistakes of others. You will never live long enough to make them all yourself." Okay? And I try to do that. I try to learn from my mistakes. I try to learn from the mistakes of others. That's why we have the Word of God. Don't you know that? It says that the Old Testament was given to us as examples so that we could learn from, you know, not only the wonderful victories and heroic exploits of the saints of God of old, but also their mistakes. That's because we learn from others. We should learn. And so, you know, I do fail. Sometimes I get angry. I don't always listen carefully to what the Lord is saying, and I charge ahead, and it's like, uh-oh, okay, I guess I should have stopped and just listened. Then I wouldn't be backtracking. But I am getting better, improving every day. I don't do things like I used to. I'm not the way I used to be. And that should be your testimony. God is showing us how to, you know, rechannel those negative thoughts and energies that we used to have into productive ways. We can realize that even in the midst of the hardest trial, the world isn't going to cave in on you, that God is going to see you through. Jesus is alive. He's alive in you. He's alive in me. God's treasure is in you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And regardless whether it's stress or frustration or whatever things that might be assaulting you, God is faithful. And, you know, sometimes we look at the saints of old. Have you ever thought of John? I thought, you know, John was the beloved disciple. He was at the cross with Jesus, with his mom. He was the only one that was there. And he was especially beloved of the Lord. When Peter said, "Hey, John, go lean on Jesus's breast and find out who he's talking about, who was going to betray him," he did. And the Lord told him that it was Judas, you know, "To he whom I give the sop to." And so he had a very special relationship. And as we read those final epistles he wrote, they're so loving, they're so beautiful. What a wonderful man of God. He's just someone we could look up to. And God just did such a beautiful work in him. But I want to tell you, beloved, do you know what? He wasn't always that way. Do you know what his nickname was? Jesus gave John and his brother James the nickname of the Sons of Thunder. Oh, come on now. And you want to see them in action? Let me refer you to Luke. The ninth chapter, verse 51, and Jesus was setting his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face. He was going to go into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. But this is what his two disciples, the Sons of Thunder, said, James and John. When they saw that, they were really upset. That's not in the scripture. That's me saying it. But they said, "Lord, wilt thou command that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He became the apostle of love. Praise God. And so, beloved, you might be like, as we bring this broadcast to a close and this message to a close or conclusion, you might be like the oyster shell that has that foreign substance intruding as a natural oyster or a cultured oyster. That word is implanted, beloved, and it begins to work in your life, in my life. Christ abides in us. Little by little, we grow. 7 years in protected beds, that's what a cultured pearl does. We can be kept that long, but the shell has to open. Our heart has to open before the Lord, and we find his work in us is so precious. It's so beautiful. It's like that cultured pearl reflecting the image of his presence in our lives. You know, God is so wonderful. He's not excessive. He's a God of balance. All that he does is in moderation, is in balance. He's perfect in all his ways. He's not ridiculous. Neither is he dead. He is very much alive. And he is not wildfire. He is holy fire. He knows about every temptation that you face. He knows how it feels. He knows the pain you go through, how it hurts. And he loves us. He loves you, brother. He loves you, sister. Even if we get our faces dirty, even if we skin our knees, even if we sometimes look like everything else but what we ought to look like, he still loves us. And you know what, beloved? His grace is sufficient. And God isn't through with us yet. We're a work in process. He paid for us with his life. He left the glories of heaven. He sold all he had and bought that pearl of great price. He died a painful, a horrible death, that you might have eternal life with him, eternal fellowship with the Father. Remember now that we're talking now about that cultured oyster. It took 7 years for it to mature. And so that cultured pearl becomes more valuable, more precious with each year. It takes time. It takes a lifetime, beloved. However long that life is that God has apportioned to us. For some, it might be decades and decades, close to 100. Others, it may not be so long. God, He plans, He orchestrates the length of our days. Our times are in His hands. But, beloved, you are His child, His beloved child, and we corporately are His church, and we become more useful, more valuable to Him as we grow in the image of Jesus. And God loves us so much. He has chosen us, as miserable as our, in terms of our own opinion, He's chosen us, the failures, the weak things, the failures, the foolish things of this world. He's chosen the refuse of humanity, if you will, to become that pearl of great price. In God's sight, that's what we become. We make up that bride. He thought of you, brother and sister. He thought of you that are listening out there, each one of you. He thought that we were valuable enough that He gave everything that He had to buy that one pearl of great value. He was willing to endure the horrific pain and suffering of the cross, the humiliation, the ridicule, the cutting off of fellowship with His Father. He cried out, why have you forsaken me, Father? He endured all of that. That's how great His love is for you. Again, let's hear, as I close, the final words of Matthew. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking fine or goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. He did that for you, beloved, and He did that for me. How can we thank Him for His love? Beloved, I don't really have anything further to say, except I sense God's Holy Spirit, His presence, and I pray right now that you'll receive the greatness of His love for you. In His love, there's healing. Healing of wounds of the past, healing of the afflictions and the wounds of the enemy that others have imposed on you, that the enemy has imposed on you. Receive that love and be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.